Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
So I'll probably hate it.
Hi there, everybody. Felger Maserati here on a Friday. It's an agenda-free Friday. It's brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Agenda-free means you set the agenda with your phone calls. And you may release the hounds, Billy Lanny. 617-779-0985. Anything we've done during the week or have yet to get to during the week, whatever you want, it is up to you. Again, as soon as you get loaded up there with your names and your subjects, we'll go to you. In the meantime, we give you opening thoughts. But again, lines are open for you now at 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Maz from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton for the final time. So we'll have a good look back at the almost nine years we have spent in this building. So some good retrospective stuff today to get to as well. Some funny stuff that we've been going over.
See, if we were like the 92 American Olympic team, we would trash the place on the way out the door. That's what we would do.
I think Zoe's taking care of that pretty good. But anyway, off and running. Opening thoughts, Maz, you want to start?
Sure, I will absolutely start. And look, that at-bat by Mookie Betts last night, I know that Murray is going to touch on that part of it. But to me, this is something I brought up earlier in the week. And I think it's, you know, as a Red Sox follower, to me, it's something that popped into my head. And when you look at this team in this first half, and they have had a historically good first half, I was reading Jason Stark the other day on The Athletic, and Jason Stark says that Mike Trout is the American League MVP. MVP of the American League. Fine. Whatever. I disagree with him, but fine. To me, the more interesting question is who's the MVP of the Red Sox? Like, if you're going to get into that sort of thing, and I know that because of last night, and I wanted to ask this earlier in the week, so last night has nothing to do with it. But in the wake of last night, I think a lot of people would look at Mookie Betts and say, oh, it's got to be him. I mean, he plays the outfield, he saves you runs out there, he's got 16 stolen bases, 2 grand slams, now it's Mookie Betts. And I think you're wrong. I think it's J.D. Martinez. And I don't think there's any doubt that it's J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez is the guy that has changed this lineup completely. He's changed the lineup. He's changed the whole sort of offensive approach and output of this team. He leads the majors in home runs. He leads the majors in RBI. He is Betts has a better slugging percentage in OPS, and frankly, I don't care. I think J.D. Martinez is the guy that makes this offense go. And a year ago at this time, they had effectively the same personnel, minus J.D. Martinez, and they were a team that at times struggled to score runs. This guy is a game changer. Do not underestimate the ripple effect that J.D. Martinez has on this lineup, because to me, he's the one that has changed everything.
The Mookie Betts 13-pitch grand slam, and more importantly, the emotion that Betts showed after he crushed that ball over the Green Monster, incredible moment, really. And I mean that my charcoal heart isn't so dark and crusty and turn to complete, you know, charcoal just yet, that I can't appreciate great theater like that. Like, that was ballsy. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, where's your asterisk?
Well, hold on. So, you know, for all of that and all that great theater, and the most important part is that he bailed out the Fortnite kid himself, David Price, who mostly sucked, I don't care what people say, and the stupid standing ovation that he didn't deserve last night. He spotted the Blue Jays a 2-0 lead with that home run that was absolutely crushed by Teoscar Hernandez, is that the guy's name? Another just guy that you wouldn't even know in a lineup unless you were a hardcore baseball fan. But either way, that was awesome, great, and I'm man enough to say I was wrong in calling the 2018 Red Sox gutless losers yesterday. I was wrong in saying that it was unfair. They have big, juicy plums on this team, specifically in the pants of Mookie Betts, Chris Sale, J.D. Martinez, who I agree with, Maz, I think is the MVP of the Red Sox.
So you're not being sarcastic?
I'm not at all.
You're taking back Gutless Loser?
I am taking back Gutless
Loser.
Oh,
that's
because,
too bad.
Well, and I'll even give it to Alex Cora, too, because for the most part, he has been in the plus column for this team, and I do think that there is an attitudinal difference, and it comes from the top on down. So those guys can potentially have an effect. I think they can potentially have an effect on the Gutless Losers, like David Price, who I still think won't win a game in the playoffs. But overall, I will take back the Gutless Loser label on 2018.
Well, that was quick.
Yes.
Even by your standards.
But what's that mean for the asterisk?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that mean for the asterisk? Well, set this up here for the TV audience on NBC Sports Boston. As you can see, with those 66 wins also comes an asterisk. The asterisk stays. 10 wins in a row. Impressive, I suppose. But what is not impressive is that those 10 wins came against four teams with a combined win-loss record of 108 wins and 170 losses. So the 66 wins, still weighted, still with an asterisk. Sorry, not sorry. Not Gutless Losers, still have the asterisk.
Oh, you've come halfway, which is still halfway farther than I thought you would go.
Oh, for him, though, that's miles.
Well, you two, the Mookie Betts Grand Slam, I mean, again, what a great moment. It's one of those moments where you got to look at the team and go, they got a little something going on.
I mean,
right?
It felt like that last night. It did.
I mean, and I think we've had several of those where, they, you know, are they different? I guess we won't know till October, but you can't deny that there's something cooking there with that team. There just is. But I thought you two would say, well, I mean, if you were doing talk radio in Toronto, how would you be approaching that inning? Would you be talking about the error by the second baseman? Would you be talking about
the drop pop-up by Smoke?
The drop pop-up by the first baseman that could have gotten out of the inning? Would you be talking about the tapper to the mound that half-assed or just, you know, really a second-rate effort on that play? Or would you be talking about what I think is the most egregious of all is that it was after a wild pitch, second and third, two out, Jackie Bradley up, Hap gets him 0-2. First base open, I guess maybe that played into his thinking, but 0-2 on Jackie Bradley with Mookie Betts in the on-deck circle, and he walks him.
Unbelievable.
And he walks him. So, like, if you're doing talk radio in Toronto, aren't you talking about make the out at second, catch the effing ball, get off the mound and catch that tapper, and oh, by the way, when you have the worst hitter in baseball, 0-2, with the best hitter in baseball in the on-deck circle?
You probably sound like, yeah, why wasn't Hop attacking the strike zone?
Why? Batting practice fastballs and make Jackie Bradley beat you as opposed to the MVP candidate in the on-deck circle. Like, that's an easy segment in Toronto sports radio if they're even paying attention by this point.
Yeah, no, I don't think they are.
Proof again, everyone sucks. So the asterisk stays. Like, that was pathetic. Go at Jackie Bradley Jr. instead. Nibble in it. That guy, come
0-2 to Bradley with Betts on the on-deck circle, and you walk him. You've got to be kidding me. And I don't even think there was a foul ball in there. I think there was just four straight balls.
There were four straight balls. It was strike one, strike two, both looking, and then he threw four balls in a row.
Oh, my God. You have got to be kidding me. So Jackie Bradley never takes the bat off his shoulder. You've got the MVP candidate in the on-deck circle. You've got the number nine hitter, the worst hitter in baseball, second worst hitter in baseball. Up, he doesn't, and you don't even make him swing the bat? You have him 0-2 and he never swings the bat?
Pathetic.
Oh, boy. Well, that's where I thought you guys were going to go, but you didn't. I will defer my opening take quickly to Vinny Boombatz, Vinny Crouch, our producer out there on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston.
John Farrell would call him Producer B.
Producer A, Vinny Crouch, says, can we talk about the mouthy little peanut and how he's going to make $2 million this year? So you don't have to do the math on air. That's three times less than Smart's qualifying offer and six times less what Smart will likely make when he signs for $12 million a year. What a great story. The Brinks trunk made all the deliveries and saved Isaiah Thomas until the last drop of the day. He went from demanding the maximum to getting the veteran minimum.
I mean, I was floored by this when I saw the number.
He can't make less.
It's unbelievable.
He couldn't make less if he tried.
I mean, it is. It's unbelievable. You know, with the Lakers last year, he averaged almost 16 points a game. He's only worth $2 million. $2 million.
Teams are rightfully concerned about that hip injury, though. For a guy that size and at 29 years old, they're right to doubt whether or not if he's ever going to come back and be close to the same player.
Okay, so we'll still talk about that as the day goes on. We'll get everything to your liking. It's Agenda Free Friday. You set the agenda. As usual, calls in the first segment. Kenny and Norton, lead us off on JD Martinez. Billy, make sure he's up if you could. Hi, Kenny, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, first time, long time. You guys are the best guys on radio. I really appreciate the entertainment. But Maz, man, all winter, all I heard all winter long was, don't sign J.D. Martinez. You got to go for Stanton. You got to go for Stanton. You know what? Stanton and the Yankees, whatever, they are what they are. But J.D. Martinez is the best signing they've had in a couple years. And Maz, I just want to hear you defend yourself from all winter long, because that's all I heard, man.
Well, see, Kenny, I think it shows growth.
Thank you. Go ahead. Thank you. I appreciate this. Go.
I think it shows growth. I don't think you're sitting there behind your take bunker, you know, take cornered, just trying to pick apart J.D. Martinez to prove your offseason comments right. You're telling it like it is.
No, see, I am man enough to look at it, and I am man enough to say this guy has been a game changer. No two ways about it. Of course I was wrong. Everybody that said this guy was a bad signing was wrong. To say that was a mistake. He has been an absolute freaking game changer. No two ways about it. And I was looking at some of the highlights this morning. I went back to that one in May where he hit the home run over the 420 mark in right center field. Normal players or average big league players, even good ones, don't do that. They don't. This guy's different. He is. He's different. He's a difference maker, and he's impacted that lineup tremendously.
Agenda Free Friday continues. Tom and Winthrop with a Celtics thought. Go ahead, Tom.
Eddie.
Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just had a quick question, Mike, Madge, whatever wants to help me out. The kid Williams that we signed, do the Celtics have to sign him, or can they just let him go?
This is a good question, and I think a fair one. At what point do you say, lost cause, not worth our time? Just punt.
Not yet.
Just renounce.
It's too early, but he's starting to feel a lot like Fab Mello.
I mean, what you obviously do is say, you're going to Maine, and we don't want to look at your face until you can make the bus, make the plane, hold on to your wallet, not sleep, you know, not oversleep and pass your drug test or whatever it is that's going on with you, pal. And we'll see you when you grow up. But otherwise, enjoy Bangor or wherever that team is.
This guy is a capital K knucklehead. He is absolute knucklehead. What a dope he seems like. And they expect him to pick up the defensive rotations?
Yeah, bad first week for Robert Williams. That goes without saying.
But too early.
Yeah.
Too early.
Oh, my God, too early.
But I say it again. I don't mind the pick. Take a gamble. Do I think it's going to pan out? Nope.
Andrew in the car on Agenda Free Friday with a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I'm worried about the Bruins, to be honest. They were this wagon coming out of the regular season, and they crapped their pants in the playoffs. Do you guys want to see them make any moves? You see, like, Carlson, Tavares on the move this offseason.
So
do you want them in on that, or you want them just staying put?
Depends what the price is. I don't want them giving up McAvoy to get Carlson. That feels like a lateral sort of thing. Ultimately, you hope McAvoy is Carlson. I don't think I want to give up DeBrusque for Carlson. If Carlson were a guaranteed 7-year deal, then you know maybe I'd do it. But it depends what the asks are. So should you be concerned that Toronto and Tampa have moved even farther past you?
Yeah, yes,
absolutely, no question about it. But that doesn't mean I make a deal that guts me just to sort of catch up in the arms race. Let it play out, stay with the plan, and get them in a couple years if that's what it ultimately means, honestly. I mean, I'm not, like, pushing all my chips to the middle of the table to catch Tampa right now. They're better than you. They're farther along than you. They should be better than you.
I mean, Toronto, to me, is a bigger concern because Toronto's young.
To me, it's not. Toronto has no D, and they still have a ways to go.
But I'm talking long-term. I'm not talking short-term.
No, you're probably right long-term. Like, next year, you know, I think you and Toronto are still in the same boat. You and Tampa, forget about it.
Like, Tampa's look, they were better in the spring. They wiped them out in 5 games, and they've gotten better.
I'm not even sure. If you got Erik Karlsson, maybe that catches you up to Tampa, but maybe not. They're loaded. They are loaded. And so, like, I don't think there's anything you can do about that. I
mean, Sweeney's thing was never a short-term thing anyway. So what, are you going to change now? No, he should stick with the plan. Don't do anything stupid.
So we're off and running here.
Again, the Bruins team motto. We didn't do anything stupid.
No, that's why I liked their offseason last year. Nothing, just mind-numbingly dumb. So we're off and running on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. Anything we've gotten to the week or have yet to get to, it's up to you. Back to you right after this.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta? Genta?
Janta.
Genta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Filger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High deep right! He crushed it! It's a grand slam! Wow! I'm telling you, electrifying at-bats of the season, and I mean anywhere in the major leagues. Mookie Betts slaughters a grand slam. An incredible at-bat, an amazing inning.
Special moment. It's another instance where you should look at the team and say, they got something cooking, and that doesn't guarantee anything, but it's hard not to look at that team and say they got something. And, you know, this thing about not having faith in them in the postseason because they've never done it before. Mookie Betts is the exact guy I was talking about yesterday, Maz, that even though you show me his postseason numbers, they're not good, and he didn't produce the first 2 years, Mookie Betts comes up in the postseason, I have confidence in him. Maybe it's false confidence. Maybe he'll not come through again, but I'm telling you, like, I don't look at him and go, what has he ever done? I look at him and go, he's going to win me a postseason game. I mean, I feel that way. We'll see if it actually plays
out. Well, look, he's kicked it up another notch. Like, he was good 2 years ago. He had a down year last year. He's even better than he was 2 years ago by a lot. So, but to me, and Murray touched on this, and, you know, you talked about the vibe that comes off a play like that. To me, what's more important is the reaction. The home run's one thing. Fine, it's Toronto. Who gives a rat's ass? Like, at the end of the day, it's July 12th. You beat Toronto. Congratulations. But it was the reaction. It was the reaction. It was the way he responded to it. They're feeling it. They believe it. The confidence level of that team right now is through the roof. They don't care who they've beaten. Like, they are feeling it, and you can see it.
There are some yeah buts, though. I'm sorry. Second baseman comes off the bag. That could have gotten him out of the inning. The pitcher doesn't come off the mound on a little tapper that should have been easy or, you know, very makeable play to first base. Nunez reaches on that infield single. I'm sorry, the first base, is it Smoke?
Smoke.
Tough play. Got to have it.
Well, he had it.
Got to have it.
I mean, that's the thing is he had the glove there. It was in there and he just didn't hold it. It popped up and came out.
But the worst of the worst. Bradley's up and he has him 0-2. He has Bradley 0-2 with the best hitter in baseball on the end deck circle. And he's got the worst hitter in Major League Baseball just about. Down 0-2, and he walks him on four straight balls where Jackie Bradley never even has to offer. That is some horrible pitching right
there.
Yeah,
of course, absolutely. And, you know, I cracked up. I went back and listened to the whole at-bat. Eckersley was comical because at one point he said something like, I think Hap's arm's going to fall off. Like, he'd thrown so many pitches, maybe that factored in.
All right, so we continue with your calls. Andrew in New Hampshire, go ahead.
Hey, so I was just saying, you guys were talking about J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts earlier, who was the team's MVP.
Yes, that's Mass. Go ahead.
So, honestly, J.D. Martinez has had a better season, yes, but Mookie Betts was leading the league before him. And then the only reason that he's not still leading in front of J.D. is because he was injured.
Okay, but see, and I'm sorry, to me that's another factor, though. Martinez has been there every game. I mean, he's sat a few, but I think he's played in 90 games, 89 games. You know, Betts is like 75. That's 2.5 weeks. I mean, Martinez has been there for every one. He didn't spend any time on the DL. You want to tell me that Mookie Betts has been a better all-around player? Of course. Yes, you factor in the defense, the base running, all of it. J.D. Martinez changes the lineup. He changes the whole thing.
Andrew in Dorchester with the Celtics thought here on Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, what's up, guys? That grand slam was badass last night. I was just about to say that. But anyway, Swalga, this is for you. I already have an idea what you're going to say, but Carmelo Anthony to the Celtics. What's your opinion?
Okay, I'm going to defer to Maz. Carmelo Anthony to the Celtics.
Maz. No, thank you. No, never in a million years, no. And you know what? Like, he still hasn't been dealt, right? I mean, so they're still looking
Correct.
For trade. But because I anticipate a buyout. And I wondered, I've actually tried to sniff around and find out whether, if there's a buyout, whether the Celtics might actually look into it. And I haven't gotten any answers yet. I'm still sniffing around. If they bring him in, stupid. Stupid. This guy will undermine everything that they do.
Sixth guy off the bench, scoring
nope.
off the bench,
nope.
improve your second unit.
Nope.
Accepts a role.
Nope.
1 year deal like Boogie Cousins to re-enhance his value and go get a real deal.
Nope.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Nope.
Front court's too loaded. You don't even need him.
Nope.
You don't need him.
No.
No, not that player. No, he is a bum.
You know the term basketball IQ?
Yes.
Theirs will drop through the floor if they bring Carmelo Anthony in here. It will drop through the floor. No. A million times, no, no, no.
And in Plymouth, what do you got for me?
I just wanted to ask you guys the question of whether you thought that baseball's downfall or the rise of soccer, which would happen first in the United States, and kind of what that time frame would look like.
So I once said to my friend in Rhode Island that he would die,
Jack,
before that happened, but it's going to happen. I had previously put the time frame on soccer being in the top three in 12 years, which when the U.S. men's team lost, I had to drop, and I won't go back to. And I still don't know if Jack's going to make it.
Maybe the greatest line ever.
But I do. I think I will. I think I will. I think in my lifetime, I'm 49, 48. I'm 48. In my lifetime, there will be a time where soccer is as big, if not bigger than baseball and hockey. I think soccer is going to pass both of those or at least catch them in my lifetime. So I'm giving this, hopefully that's around 40 years, you know, so that something like that in this, at the within the next two generations, I think that's going to happen.
So I was going to say,
I've given myself a lot of time there, haven't I?
By the time my kids have kids, if that makes sense.
So two generations.
2040.
So that's
22 years.
Oh, I'm going to make that. Hopefully, ideally.
2040.
Knock on wood. On this brick.
I think it's headed that way. I do. Unless baseball does something drastic and dramatic, I think it's headed that way. Because to me, it's getting worse, man. Now, look, the last couple of nights, and I don't know, someone said this to me today, like, well, now we can actually watch the games. You know, like, we have the time to watch the games. And I think baseball banks on this, the fact that they have July and August, or most of August anyway. Like, you know, now people can sort of slow down and watch the games and appreciate Sale the night before, you know, Mookie Betts now. So there's something to that. But even so, it's impossible to sit there and watch the whole thing.
You can't do it.
It's impossible.
You can't do it. It's on. It's just sort of there. But you can't. You just can't. It's impossible. And this is soccer's opening. Like, they should really be pounding this time of year. And
12 years. I don't think you'll make it.
There it is, Jack. I don't think Jack will make it. I'm going to make it, though, in my lifetime. Chris in Avon. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, yeah, that Mookie Betts at bat last night, I mean, that was ridiculous. But, I mean, are you guys, I wanted to ask Maz, I mean, it was great to see him celebrate and show that he's actually a human and has, like, some emotion in him, but do you think there's any chance that the Blue Jays kind of see that as showing him up and kind of aiming for him or plunking him one of the next couple of games? So I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Yeah, maybe.
Was
Was
he too excited?
I mean, he almost fell down, for crying out loud. Like, so they might. I doubt it, but they might. But and you know what? So what?
John Gibbons is that kind of a-hole to do something like that, isn't he?
Yep, he is. And it's a bad team over there. Like, you know, so you get to this stage of the season, you're almost at the All-Star break, you can easily see someone getting pissed off and doing something stupid. So I don't rule it out. But you know what I would say? It was worth it. It was worth it. Like, part of my criticism with Betts, Bogarts, these guys, they don't play with enough real passion. And I always say, do you ever see any one of them pissed off? Last night, that to me was close. Like, he was, yeah. There was an intensity there about Betts. I said, there you go. Now I can believe.
I'm sorry, I'm going to back up one half step. Soccer's already caught hockey. I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, the ratings aren't much different. Hockey doesn't rate nationally. Their TV deals, hockey is a better TV deal, but the next soccer deal, the next MLS deal might equal the NHL deal. Like, it's... Soccer's already close to hockey. Not in, you know, it's if you just talk about the nation, if you averaged out the nation as a whole. Regionally, it's obviously varies where you're talking about. But soccer's already close to hockey. So, I mean, what am I talking about? It's baseball. I mean, that, you know, that's the big one to watch. Generationally speaking, Maz, as you mentioned. Here's Dayton in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Dayton, on the Sox.
Hey, how's it going? JD compared with Manny Ramirez through their first 335 at-bats with the Red Sox. JD and Manny both had 111. 21 doubles each. JD had 28 home runs. Manny was 27. Both have 50 extra base hits. JD has 218 total bases.
Hey,
Manny 217.
Hey, Dayton, do you think that JD Martinez is as good as Manny?
I think he doesn't have the attitude and more reliable, maybe. Not sure. I love both players.
Well, but hold on. He is right now. Fine. I mean, you want to tell me that those numbers compare? Like, is it Murray you had a problem with this? With your Bradford thing? Like, so... J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts are the same as Ortiz and Manny Ramirez. Like, I'm sure you can give me a statistical sort of look at that that says that they've been just the same, which I say, great, they have. If they have, they have. And right now, J.D. Martinez is hitting as well as I've seen a guy hit on this team.
Do you remember when we made fun of Cora for suggesting that it was like Manny?
Yes. So, and for a half year, he's right, we're wrong. No question about it. So, like, I'm not even going to argue that point.
So now look.
But the issue is...
There's still a distinction, though.
The issue is, Manny did it for 8 years here.
Thank you.
And he won two championships.
Manny could hit before he could walk, for crying out loud.
But David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez did it for 8 straight years, in which they won 2 championships, went to 4 LCS, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So, like, get back to me on Betts and Martinez. When Betts and JD Martinez start winning championships and doing this year in, year out, I'll say they're every bit. And I'll take JD Martinez hitting like this over Manny Ramirez hitting like this, because, as the caller said, Manny Ramirez was a dunderhead.
Oh, yeah, he's a better guy.
And unreliable and a better guy and all of that. So I'll take JD. If JD Martinez really wants to hit like this all the time, every year, I'll take him over Manny Ramirez. That's fine.
I mean, I couldn't have been more wrong about JD Martinez on every level. Like, even the stuff about the leadership aspect of him that they said, you know, he possessed. And I went, eh, it's hard for a guy to do in his first year. We'll see. I think it's true. I think there's some of that. And I've heard people talk about this around the team a little bit of late. And again, I think it's real. Guys follow him. They buy in. He talks to them about hitting and they listen. And, like, they believe in him. He's got it, man. Aside from the numbers, it feels to me like he's become a leader for them.
So I frankly don't care about these regular season numbers. I don't. If you want to tell me they're hitting as well as those guys for half a year, great. Yep, sure seems like it to me. I agree. I'm just looking right now. Hanley Ramirez, postseason OPS. I can't read Baseball Reference. He hit in the postseason.
Hanley or Manny?
Manny.
Okay, you said Hanley, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Manny Ramirez hit in the postseason and won championships. Period. At Boston in his 8 years, postseason OPS of .999. Okay, so he hit just about 1,000 OPS in his playoffs and won 2 championships. Okay, and went to how many ALCSs, blah, blah, blah. When those guys start doing that, then I think you have a good comparison. Here's the update from Big Jim Murray.
Sports Hub headlines.
Mookie Betts crushed a grand slam and helped the Red Sox beat the Toronto Blue Jays 6-4 last night, extending their winning streak to 10 games. And despite spotting Toronto an early 2-0 lead, David Price, last night's starter, improved to 20-3 lifetime against the Blue Jays. That's the 4th most wins against them in MLB history, and the most among active pitchers. Tonight, this 4-game series continues. Got Rick Porcello on the mound for the Sox. Toronto counters with Ryan Borycki. And first pitch at Fenway is at 7:10. NBA news, the Lil Nugget has become a Nugget, as free agent guard Isaiah Thomas has agreed to a 1-year, $2 million deal with the Denver Nuggets. The Vegas Golden Knights have agreed to a 3-year contract extension with goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. The deal is reportedly for an average of $7 million per season and will keep him with the Golden Knights through the 2021-22 season. Running back DeMarco Murray has announced his retirement after 7 seasons in the NFL. And at Wimbledon, John Isner and Kevin Anderson have been playing for 6-plus hours and are tied at 22 games each in the 5th set. 6 straight hours of tennis. Ooh. Headlines are brought to you by Kiel Vodka, the first American premium light vodka, smoother, lighter, better-tasting vodka with only 58 calories per serving. That's Kiel Vodka. Stay balanced. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Next update, 30 minutes.
The Sports Hub.
So, of course, I was looking at the wrong column on Baseball Reference. This site kills me. But I wasn't far off either way. Manny Ramirez career postseason for the Red Sox, Mets.
Okay, 43 games. 43 games. So, basically a quarter of a season. And it's a big sample. They went 28-15. 11 homers, 38 RBI in 43 postseason games. I mean, to give you a rough, you know, that's basically 40 homers and 145 RBI.
OPS?
980 OPS and a batting average of .321.
So when these guys start doing that in the postseason and they start going to World Series, then that's what they are. And so that's the last shoe to drop with this team. We got to wait and see what they do in October. The question is, do you have confidence that they'll do it? And I can see why you wouldn't. I can see why you would. I mean, for some of these guys, I do. Mookie Betts, I don't care what his postseason numbers are so far. You got to have confidence in that guy. Martinez, I'm getting there. I mean, because again, well, no, I mean, I should be there with Martinez because he seems like such a good professional hitter. I don't know why I would hesitate on him. Maybe I'm still in my take bunker. But let's see. These guys do it in October, then you're really talking about something.
And I mean, the two of them, really. I don't know how you could find two better hitters in baseball this year than those two.
Okay, Brad in Northborough on the Sox. Go ahead, Brad. Bradley!
Hi, guys. Yep, hi, guys. Sorry, first time, long time.
Welcome.
And so speaking of that, I just wanted to talk about how last night we had Betts, J.D. Martinez and Benintendi batting in the bottom of the seventh, and for some reason the fans are doing the wave. I mean, I hate the wave, and it was just maddening, absolutely maddening.
Okay, so this is a topic that is, well, sort of a... We talk about the popularity of the Sox and that Shaughnessy column and baseball and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of regards, you could say it's healthy. As in, like, the TV rating last night was great number, 9. Then 9.
I mean, the night before it was close to that, yeah.
Yeah, so the last two nights they've done close to 9s. And that's a big number for baseball. And, like, that's a lot of people and a lot of interest and all of that. But what's the nature of the interest? You know, the wave when you're at bat, just like rookie ball. That's, you know, this is soft as it gets.
Oh, listen, I think what you're in now is, you know, this is going to a baseball game is basically like going to the beach.
How about the standing ovation for David Price?
Oh, please.
Oh, get out of here.
Stop.
What the hell are you doing? That's embarrassing on behalf of everybody.
Go ahead, Murray, go.
Well, no, well, he wasn't that good, and he hates your guts.
That second part's a key point.
So what are you standing up cheering him for? And what the hell has he accomplished here? And he's still, again, he hates it here. I don't know. That blew my mind. Like, does that just speak to the goofy nature of that park when you go?
Well, it just shows you.
I went a couple of weeks ago, too, and I was like, this effing wave, like, we haven't killed this, and still with Sweet Caroline, enough!
Fraud factor. Again, you're in mid-July here now, so you know you have at the beach? The family. Let's go to the beach. Honey, let's go on a date. Let's go to the Red Sox game. Let's do that. Let's sit there and we can do the wave. We can have a couple of hot dogs, maybe drink a beer. Can we get an ice cream? I want an ice cream. Let's do that. Oh, there's David Price. He was good. Yay. Good David. Yay.
Oh, it's definitely what it is.
Oh, God, please. A fraud factor.
It'll never be what it was when I was a kid. But yeah, I mean, they'll throw you out if you try to throw in a dip now. Like, it's a whole different thing.
Please.
Can you really not? Oh, yeah. They say you're not allowed to dip.
Yeah, yeah.
If this were like 1979... They'd have booed the pants off of him last night.
I used to be able to buy a cigar in Fenway when I first moved here. I could buy one and smoke it there. In the stands. No, now I can't even dip?
Nope.
Not that I would want to.
I'm not sure you can even have peanuts.
Elliot in Brookline on David Price. Hi, Elliot.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What do you got?
So about 20 minutes before you guys came on, Zolak and those guys were ripping Price. And it's a hot day. I got my windows down in the car. And I'm working over in Brookline, over in the neighborhood, like Brady, Pedroia, and those guys. So I'm pulling up to a red light right next to the country club. And it's this stupid black, like, Hummer tank thing. They're ripping Price. I look over to my right, and it's Price sitting right next to me at the red light. I wish it was Murray doing the Fortnite bit, because it would have been now much better. But
did he look over, and a tear came down his cheek like Iron Eyes Cody?
He looked over, but I have to admit, I lost my sack, and I turned the volume down.
Excellent. Thank you, Elliot, for the update on that.
But, yeah, he drives one of those crazy, whatever they're in.
It looks like the Batmobile.
Yeah, it's not
like
even
an
a Hummer, right? It's like it's something worse.
I hear what you have to say about me. I hate all of you.
Sam, get up on that building.
But the cheering is, outside of the, which is a day at the beach, very soft, like, you know, it's also, those are Red Sox fans and they want David Price to do well.
Sure.
So, you know, we got your back, David. Good moment, good win. We're going to support you because we need you in October. And, like, I get it. I just, you know, I can't begrudge a fan that.
But if you're a real fan to me, you cross your arms and you judge.
Well, no, but they're
used to prove it.
So I do prefer the Fellowship of the Miserable, that Red Sox experience where it's F you, do it in October. Right? Like, that was the Red Sox fan that I knew when I moved here, and, you know, like, and now that's different. So I prefer that guy, Murray. I do prefer that guy. But now it's something else, and they're the fans of the team, and they want to get David Price's back, so I get it.
Yeah, I liked the guy the other day who thinks they're down 0-1 in the division series. He's like, Price has already lost game 2, Sale better win game 1.
Matt in Boston on a Celtics take. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys? So I was just asking, we know the Celtics are going to be pretty strong for the next couple years at least, and one of those keys is definitely Al Horford. Right now he has a max contract. I think he's got a year or two left. My question is, how important is Al Horford to our success right now? We know he's kind of like the glue guy of the team.
So let me just stop you. Matt, I'm just going to stop you right there. My guess is the team hopes he opts out after next year and he's off their books. That would be my guess, and I'm just totally projecting, because I think that Al's role on the team is still pretty prominent right now and this year, even though it's an intangible role, and that's $30 million is a lot for an intangible guy. But I think you swallow it for this year before those guys start making money. But when those guys start making money, meaning the kids, or you got to pay Kyrie Irving, I don't think you want to be paying Al Horford $30 million.
Oh, you definitely don't.
So he's got, if he opts in, I don't know, like, do they trade him? I don't know. I just feel like, I feel it'd be silly for them to keep paying him that money after this year.
I wonder if they can go to him and say, opt out, and then we'll sign you to a three-year deal for less. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, less annually.
Uh-huh.
You'll get more money in the long term, but, you know, because have him around as a role player.
Oh, tremendous.
Like, he'd be a good guy to keep in that. Like, to me, something like that I'd be amenable to. But if he opts in at 31 or whatever the stupid number is, oh, my God, please. What a waste.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. This is our last show in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton. We are leaving the Brighton building after 9 years here with 98.5 The Sports Hub. So we're going to start to mix in some retrospectives. The best and worst moments of our time here in this building, in this studio, that we first started in August of 2009. So we're coming up on the 9-year anniversary, and we are out after today. Today's the last day, and coming up next, we'll just look back at some of the equipment issues we've had here as it relates to. Well, you'll hear it. That's after this.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mads.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
It's not the Patriots' fault that they played two rookie quarterbacks to start this year. You can't hold that against the Patriots. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And it gets to the point where every single week we can come in here. Turn your mic off while you're doing that, by the way.
No, I'm trying to clear off all... It looks like a glaze from a donut or something on my keyboard. I can't tell. It's either glazed or like a donut with sprinkles or some other crap that Zolak left on my keyboard. The filthy animal. I can't get it all. I can't log on until I get all this crud off my freaking keyboard. I'm gonna have a meltdown on the air today. Can you hear that? That's me cleaning my keyboard from all the crap Zolak left on it.
So, right now I almost feel like this Red Sox team is just following the lead of everybody else. You know, half of me thinks the team encourages it now because they got to sponsor it.
But to me it all depends on what kind of team you have. Like, if they want to celebrate in Pittsburgh, I'm okay with that. Like, that has been a deprived market when it comes to baseball in a long time. So, if they end up getting in, they're in. Okay? Have a blast! Good for you! But the Dodgers? Like, the Dodgers are a $225 million team! They're stacked with all-stars! Like, they need to cut loose because they beat the crap out of everybody in a suck-bag division? Like, I look at them and go, you are clowns! You're clowns! Like, is Denver going to be happy about getting in the playoffs in the NFL? They act like two-year-olds! It looks like glaze from a donut or some other crap that Zolak left on my keyboard. The filthy animal. I can't get it all. I can't log on until I get all this crud off my freaking keyboard.
So again, last day that poor keyboard is going to have to deal with Zoe and then the wipe downs. People wondered why we wipe down so thoroughly. Have you seen the animals that precede us in the studio?
It's like a hamster cage in here, I'm telling you. Seriously, like shavings on the floor and all kinds of crap. In the new place, because we have like literally a brand new studio that they built for us. It's like a customized home for the Felger and Mads show in particular, I might add. The rest of you can go to hell. But in that studio, I think we should have a no food policy for Zoe. Only for Zoe.
Because I need a snack in the middle of a...
Yeah, no. But we're clean, responsible human beings.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Like, we clean
we're
up
clean,
after
yes.
ourselves.
We're,
I throw all my stuff in the trash at the end of the show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not Zoe. No. There's got to be... In fact, you know what? I'm thinking about in the new studio, how about a no Zoe policy?
Seriously.
Zoe has to do the show remotely.
He does more to personally besmirch and befoul this studio and these workspaces. It's he is a 13-year-old... JV football player is what he is.
Totally. He does a show half the time with his hand in his pants.
And his shoes off and the feet everywhere. It's just disgusting what he does and what he leaves.
He's a human fungus.
Like, one of those, the other day when I was in the Maz chair, I came in after him and I made the mistake of looking at the windscreen on the microphone. And it, like, the food was still, there was bits of food still on it. It's repulsive. I love him, but he's gross.
Speaking of the windscreen, we came in one day and found out or heard someone say something about what he did. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, so there's the microphone. And then there's the windscreen so you don't pop your peas. And so, you know, you put that windscreen over it. But I guess Zoe was unhappy with his windscreen, so he tried to bolster. Listen to this. This was a couple years ago.
Did you just wrap a sock on your microphone? What is that? Because you're popping your peas, you decided to wrap a sock on there. Is it your own sock?
No.
Whose sock is it? So it is your sock. You just said, is it your sock? No. Whose sock? It's mine.
It's all my microphone.
Well, other people use that microphone.
Oh, they clean it. They scrub it down good.
That is disgusting. Now you know why the microphones may smell like feet.
Oh, so stop for a second. And back it up. The microphones reek.
Oh, yeah.
They come and they smell. They smell like ass. Or they smell like feet. They smell. It's like, how does this microphone smell?
Because it's another person's breath. Because they've been yammering into the thing hour after hour.
Not just that.
Oh, no. Because they wrap them in their
because
sock.
Because Zoe took his tube sock off and wrapped around the mic because he didn't like the way his plosives were sounding into the windscreen. Yeah, this is the animal that we... So this problem's going to travel. Like, it's not, this is an old studio kind of thing. But good luck to whoever speaks into these next. That smell? Zoe's socks?
Yeah, and Murray, that wasn't food in the windscreen. That was Zoe's toe cheese.
Oh, God. So that's the
other That one. Is disgusting. Now you know why the microphones may smell like feet. Maz.
It's like when you use a cutting board and you cut onions on it, then you're...
Was the reason for that in question before now? I think we all knew.
I did not know that that's why. I figured he rubbed his feet on it at some point. No, you wrap your sock around the microphone.
Yeah. See, how's this supposed to make me feel?
For years, Maz has come in here and said, my microphone smells like feet. True. The studio often smells like feet because Zoe's feet reek.
It smelled like a zoo in here.
And he will often take his shoes off because he's an animal. But I had no idea the depths to which that went. He put his sock.
He's a primitive being.
On your microphone. You wrapped his sock around your microphone, man.
Yes, yes. So let me tell you that instinctively I heard that. I went, well, this explains a lot. Why every time I like get close to the mic and start talking, I smell someone's feet. Like, that's why this explains a little bit. But then I started to wonder, like, I don't know, it could be worse. Like, well, you know.
He could have used his underwear.
Absolutely. With Zoe, you rule out nothing. He goes out in the hallway and gives Chuck Nolan a wedgie and then wraps the underwear around the mic. I wouldn't put that past him either. The Neanderthal. Good God. Half the time I come in here, I told you, there's mustard or salsa or some type of, like,
schmutz.
Human secretion on the computer screen, whether it's a snot from his nose or earwax or some sort of saliva issue going on the screen. And now I find out that he's wrapping the mic with his tube sock. Tube sock.
That is so filthy. So,
he's a repulsive human being.
Have you ever found the toenail clippings?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
That's the one that's the
absolutely
most offensive.
Toenail clippings.
Yeah, and I would tell you that he clips his toes during the break, except he does it during the show.
No, he's snipping away, which is gross. The standard one is just sometimes you come in here and you feel like you're walking to the ground round.
Seriously?
You know, peanut shells everywhere. It's like, Zoe, they give you a wastebasket. So, of course, I mean, I'm getting a little OCD as I get older. It's getting worse by the day. So this is partly on me, but it's not all on me. There is a reason I wipe down.
Yeah, when you come to this, specifically this station, Zoe and I sit in the same chair, your feet stick to the floor. So it's like being in the basement of a fraternity house in this particular little workstation, for crying out loud.
So, again, we're just sort of reliving the studio as we leave it for the last day. So that's just the last little retrospective here in this segment. It leads me to sometimes overwipe. Hi, everybody. Welcome in. It's Felger and Maserati on a Wednesday. Hi, can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you. No. Are you plugged in?
I'm plugged in.
Please hold.
Hello, everybody. Felger and Maserati.
This is the best you've sounded in 8.5 years. Yeah, blow a little air in there. See if that clears that puppy out.
Finally shut Felger up.
All right, welcome into Felger and Maz. Greg Goddard is here on a... what is today? Did you wipe this
That's
thing
not
down?
Annoying
I wiped
anything.
It down.
Oh, there we go.
It must have been the squeezing.
Oh, I think that puppy's loose.
Doo-doo-doo.
I think that puppy's loose.
It's good radio.
Ooh. Okay. Let's see. You want to switch seats? All right, so Greg Bedard, let's start with you while Mike's trying to get his mic figured out here.
All right. It's just one of many. We've got like four or five different clips of that.
I think you and that one there you did. You supersaturated the mic.
So I use my wipes, and I want a moist wipe because the moist wipe has the most disinfectant in it. And so sometimes I get a little, and it shorts. And so.
Yeah,
because
it's a delicate piece of equipment, that microphone. You might as well go spit in an engineer's face when you do that kind of thing.
Well, this is just the opposite. This is hermetically disinfecting in his face. But yes, so that happens. But this all goes back to, do you blame us?
Right.
No.
When the midday guys are wrapping socks around the microphone.
You know what I'm going to do with the new place? I'm going to get one of those pump bug sprayers. And you can put some disinfectant in there and spray
the
mic.
The Orkin man.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right. We're exterminators, for crying out loud. We're going to have to be at the new place.
Okay, again, so if you're listening on the radio, this is going to mean nothing to you because you just hear us and we're going to sound the same in the new place and this is all a bunch of nothing. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you'll see it's going to look different. It's going to be different. And so... there will be a difference when you tune in on Monday. But either way, we're leaving the building, and so we're just the best and worst from the 9 years in this building. We'll continue next hour with that. But right back to your phone calls on Agenda Free Friday after Murray's update.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.